I hope you can see that. It says a personal revelation. We'd like the Lord to minister to our hearts today and give us some good things out of His Word. I was thinking about last week, we talked about the plan and how that, you know, the Lord, all for 4,000 years, He promised through His prophets that He would send the Messiah, that He would send the Christ, that He would send the remedy for the sins that Adam and Eve had fallen into. And so He made that plan even before the world was formed, it says, Christ, that He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And I was thinking about that. We spoke last week just for a little bit about the downtown plan in Oklahoma City and how that the mayor, I believe it was Ron Norick then, and different ones had a vision that they were going to transform that whole downtown area from a place that drew fear and that people did not want to be into a place that had a river walk and all kinds of nice things, buildings reconstructed, renewed, changed. And so we see that come to pass. We hardly expected it. But there was a plan, and those people worked that plan. And the Lord God had a plan. And for 4,000 years, for the first 3,600 years of it, prophet after prophet, starting clear back when it happened, the Lord promised that there would be a time that that would all change. And through Moses, He prophesied. Abraham, He prophesied. Isaiah prophesied. A lot of them did. And so, you know, in spite of all of that happening and all that God gave to us, to some, it's a savor of life unto life. And to other, it's a savor of death unto death. Do you know that this gospel is something that if we are going to give our lives to it, it has to be personally revealed to us. It cannot be inherited. It cannot come down from grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or brother or sister. It can't be given like that. We have to have a personal revelation this morning. And I'd like the Lord to help us to be able to maybe think about some things that might help us in this way. I was thinking about the 12 apostles and Matthias, 13. And we see Judas stepped off the scene and he was replaced with Matthias. Those 12 apostles believed so much. They had such a revelation in their life and heart that they went over all the known world. They went all kinds of places carrying the gospel, churches starting, congregations starting, everywhere. And almost every one of them sealed it with their blood. And they were glad to do it. Tell me how 12 men can be so convinced that they give the rest of their life, that they go to the battlefront knowing they're going to die, knowing they're probably going to die there. Somehow, they had something revealed in their lives and hearts that changed them forever. And we see the rest of it. I looked up the 12 last night. The best accounting that history has for it and that the church handed down, the best accounting we have is not perfect. But we know that James was the first one. He was executed by Herod about 44 A.D. We know that Peter was crucified. And the best that was handed down said Peter told them, "Don't crucify me like Christ. Crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus was." And we find Paul. Now, I know he wasn't one of the 12, But he was an apostle. We find him going to Rome, where Peter was crucified, and they took and they beheaded Paul there. We find Andrew. Andrew, I want to read just a little of what he said when it came time for him to be crucified. It says, it is said he went joyfully, I'm quoting now, he went joyfully to the place where he was to be crucified. And coming near the cross, he said, O beloved cross, I have greatly longed for thee. I rejoice to see thee erected here. I come to thee with a peaceful conscience and with cheerfulness, desiring that I, who am a disciple of him who hung on the cross, may also be crucified. The apostle said further, The nearer I come to the cross, the nearer I come to God. And the farther I am from the cross, the farther I remain from God. Tell me how 12 men could never swerve and give their lives to the last and never let up, taking it to foreign heathen lands, just like we see today, where they hated the gospel. They hated intrusions on their religion and on their false forms of religion and their false idols and all those things. They hated it then like they hate it now in some of those places. And these apostles were so convinced, so convicted, so called that they gave the very last they had and did it gladly. We don't find them moaning and bemoaning their situation. They gladly went. They say that that Thomas went clear as far as India. In fact, if you read history a little bit, and I didn't see this this morning or last night, but if you read history a little bit, you see that they claim that he established 12 congregations in India and then other places as well. And we find him at last. They put him in a red-hot oven. And as far as history, what was handed down was said. They said he wasn't burning up. So they poked him with spears and killed him like that. But, you know, this morning I'm not here to be gruesome. But I want to challenge us today. What caused these men to never swerve in their life? To never give up the truths that they learned? To never compromise the things and yet to take it the rest of their life? And give up all the things that they could have been? Some of them could have had fortunes. Paul, one of them. Luke might have been one of those. Matthew, the tax collector, may have been one of those. And we find them martyred here and there. But by 300 years, we find in that whole Roman Empire, we find that Christianity had become the official religion in 300 years. About 300 years. And so we see the impact that people can have when they lay down their lives and they have a vision of things. They have a vision of truth, a vision of righteousness, a vision of God's will in their life, the call upon their life. Do you know there's something more this morning? And I know most of us do. There's something more this morning than this life, but it has to be revealed to us because there isn't anyone that can tell you these things and it lasts the rest of your life. There has to be some divine revelation in our hearts and in our lives that we'll pick this up and never lay it aside until we die and go to be with the Lord. Give our life for it gladly. You know, John the Apostle, he was the only one that they can say they feel quite sure lived to a natural death. And even him, they tried to put to death. They say the saying was that they put him in a pot of boiling oil, and he wouldn't boil. And we don't know all those things for positive, but we have a pretty good record that these things happened. Most of them, John was at Ephesus. During Domitian's persecution in the middle 90s, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. Can't you see him there? I wonder how he ate. Probably went down to the seashore a lot, find what he could find. Did John grumble and give up the Lord? No, he wrote the Revelation while he was out there. We have the book of Revelation because God used that time that John was out there. These men were persuaded that God had something better than this life. These men were persuaded that to give my life was much more valuable, much more valuable. Paul speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Paul left probably riches. They believe he was one of the members of the Sanhedrin, one of the ruling class, one of the 70 in all the nation of Israel. Yet we find him gladly forsaking those things, giving his life in that way. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning about our own lives today. I don't believe that we have to be any less intense in our devotion to the Lord than they did. And God help us to not allow it to be so. You know, in Acts 21 and 10, and it says, "And as we tarried there, many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." Paul, they're going to bind you. This prophet just said, when you go to Jerusalem, they're going to bind you, put you in prison. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." What more can you do to a man that says, "I'm happy to give my life for it. It's not a problem. Why do you weep and break my heart? I'm willing not only to be bound, I'm willing for him to kill me." You know, this morning, I really believe if more of us had that kind of revelation, there might be a little more that we could do in this world. I believe we have what this world needs this morning. God help us to have the propulsion to go forward in the midst, in the face of defaming, in the face of death, and those kind of things. I know I'm speaking big words here. God help us today. I may have to seal it with my blood. I don't know. But I want to be ready to do that. I believe that I am. I hope so. John 6 and 66. I want to talk a little bit now about the revelation of the Lord and what he is in our lives. 6 and 66 of John. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." You know what? That's probably the hardest thing, almost, that someone can have that's trying to lead people, is when they just leave and decide, we don't want this kind of thing anymore. Go back to the world. That's probably the hardest thing. And he said, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" And so, though many had went away, then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus, well, that's far enough. You know, this morning, Peter did not always understand the Lord either. But one thing he knew, He knew that this was He. And He wasn't going to swerve from Him. He knew that this was the Son of God. He knew that He was the Christ. And He was not willing to go back. You know, Peter failed one time miserably. And we find him denying, I don't know the man. He saved his hide, didn't he? Or he thought he did. And you know, we find that. Did it do away with what Peter knew? Peter had a vision in his mind. He went out and wept bitterly, didn't he? And he came back. Peter's heart, there was something revealed in his heart and mind. And this morning, God help us to have some things revealed in our hearts and in our lives that makes it almost impossible for us to go away. I believe that's why John says that it is impossible for one to sin. Why? Because folks, these 12 live their life. They sealed it with their blood. Why was it impossible? No, I don't believe it means it's impossible. It simply means they love Him too much. It's like I heard someone say, could you throw your baby over a balcony? That's impossible, isn't it? Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. But it's impossible because we love them way too much for that, don't we? Do you know, the Lord wants to reveal Himself in our hearts today. I have heard people and say, and I've heard a number of them, I have never been tempted to go back on the Lord. That's an amazing thing to say that this morning. I can't say I've never been tempted. I'll just be honest with you. But you know, this morning, I believe, but I've had a revelation that I could never leave. And so this morning, the Lord help us to have that kind of revelation. No matter what comes in our life, that we allow God to work His will. That we constantly, Lord, I want Your will in my life. I believe these men, I believe what saved them was that they did the will of the Lord. They got up and they went out and they left that place and they did what God wanted them to do. Had Peter went back to fishing, I believe Peter would have lost what he had. But Peter did the will of the Lord. I believe this morning, God wants to reveal Himself in our lives this morning. He wants Himself to be real enough that we never can go, we can never leave that for the rest of our life. I know who God is. I believe the Lord wants to reveal truths to our heart. He wants to reveal His love in our life in a way that no matter what happens, no matter what people say, no matter what the great intelligence of the world today says, they can't tell me God isn't love. I know better. I've met this one. I've found Him. I've found Him to be love. I've seen Him at work. These 12 apostles had walked with the Lord. They saw Him close at work. They saw Him at hand. They knew who Jesus Christ was. Nobody could tell them otherwise. Nobody could say, well, that's a hard saying. I'm going away. I don't want any more to do with this. They did that. Many did to the Lord. But those apostles didn't do that. They had seen too much for that. In Acts, well, I'll just quote maybe a little bit of this for time's sake. But you know, Paul, when he went around, and it says that, this was Acts 9 actually, but it says that Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And we know the story. Saul went and he got letters to go clear as far as Damascus, a foreign city, searching for Christians, putting them to death, putting them in prison, causing these kind of things. But I will tell you, we all know the story, don't we? The Lord met Paul. That met Saul on the road to Damascus, didn't he? And he struck him down. Do you know this morning, Paul still had, he still had his own will. He could have said, I don't want to do that. I know what enmity there is. I know what wrath there is against these Christians, and I don't want to be one of them. But Paul, he met the Lord there, And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And this is what's recorded in Acts here in our translation. "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You know, there was a time that Paul, and we mentioned this a while back, Paul was standing there when Stephen was stoned. He was holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen, it says. He was a young man. Do you know, this morning, the Lord had a lot to do to get a hold of Paul and to get a hold of his life. But you know, we find him asking the Lord, "What shall I do?" And the Lord began to work with Paul. He was blind for 3 days. I believe God was dealing with Paul. Listen, God deals with us today. He deals with you and me. And what we do is sometimes we forget it. Or we leave it behind. Or we go on and we say, as Felix did, he trembled and he said, "Call for me. I'll call for you, Paul, another time when it's more convenient." We don't have any record of that ever happening, do we? Where Felix ever called and changed the record, did he? The Lord dealt with Felix right there and he trembled. Young folks, middle-aged, old folks, God meets with you and me. He's not going to let us through this life without somewhere us having some kind of real serious meeting. I believe that this morning. I've talked to too many that have gotten saved. And those that they will tell you, "For a year I was having dreams. I couldn't get away from it. For a year I'd wake up in the night terrified." What was going on? The Lord was telling them, "There's danger ahead. You better get saved. You better change your life." And so we see that that happens, doesn't it? And we know by talking with people that it happens regularly. God's going to deal with you. Maybe he already has. And I want to urge us this morning. The Lord has a revelation for you and me of his love that will make us happy to give him the best of our life from then on. It'll make us happy to give him the best years of our life. It'll make us happy to give our blood for him. It'll make us happy to do some suffering for his sake. I know we don't like that in the flesh, but there's more than the flesh here this morning. And so the Lord said unto Ananias, Paul was there, he said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And we never see Paul looking back from that this morning. Do you know, this morning, I believe the Lord has a bunch of chosen vessels in here. You believe that? Do you believe that this morning? The Lord has a bunch of chosen vessels in here this morning. He has a chosen place for every one of us. And He wants to meet with us. He wants us to say, "Who are you, Lord? What are you telling me, Lord? I want to know. I want to move into that place." And you know, Paul moved into that place. And I believe when you read the scriptures, we find that Paul... Well, maybe I'll read that here in a little bit. I don't know. But we find him thinking he was doing the right thing. And he said because that he was ignorant of that, he obtained mercy of the Lord. Paul wasn't out trying to be a wicked man. Do you know, we've got to control this guy in here. We've got to bring him under the control of the Lord and not allow him to turn wicked. We've got to bring him to under the leadership of Christ and under his laws, because folks, we're all going to stand before the great majesty on high one day. Every one of us, all by yourself. You're not going to be able to lean on anybody else. So the Lord help us today. Oh, I believe that we have something so real, so precious. I've found it to be so in our lives. that it is worth, folks. It is worth the rest of our life. It's worth not waiting till we're old. And I've heard it said, I've heard people talk like that. Oh, when I get older, you know, I have everything settled financially and everything. That's the wrong time. The time is now in our lives. The time is now. John 12 and 34, I want to look at this very important set of scriptures, John 12 and 34 to 43, because I believe it tells us something about the mechanics of how all this works. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then said Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Folks, spiritually today there are millions walking in darkness, not knowing whither they go. Saying every kind of thing, blasphemy, things against the word of God, and yet claiming to be Christians, claiming to be priests, claiming to be in high places, and claiming to be just regular Christians, and yet walking in darkness, not knowing where they go. This morning, Jesus told us, he said, walk while you have the light, because darkness might come on you, and then you won't even know where you're going. That strikes great fear in my heart. There's one thing I don't want. I don't ever want to be deceived. I want to know where I'm at. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of them. I want to do the best I can to explain that. When Isaiah said, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart," I believe Jesus made that clear in the 35th verse what he meant. He said, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you." Do you know that when Jesus withdraws himself, there isn't anything left but darkness? And what more is there? And so when Jesus comes along and he wants to reveal himself in our lives, should we not say, "Yes, Lord. Lord, yes." Lord, your truths, sometimes they hurt in the flesh, don't they? Sometimes it makes me stand out. Sometimes it makes me different. Sometimes I look different, and that feels a little bit uncomfortable. And he says, walk while you have the light. Walk in that light. Don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be honest and say the truth when everybody else scoffs at you when you do. Don't be afraid to look like a Christian. Is it possible that the Lord wants us to have a different uniform than the world on purpose? Businesses do it all the time. Would the Lord be that way? Maybe so. We're different, aren't we? We look different sometimes. I believe God knew all of that this morning. Psalms 24 and 3. I want to come to a few things. What this does for us. Psalms 24 and 3. It says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. Do you know there's only one person that can keep your hands clean? And that's you and me, mine. That's the only person that can do that. And he says, who's going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to get up there close to the Lord? Who's going to... We're not talking about an elevated place in that we're in some better than thou situation. But we're talking about righteousness from the Lord. We're talking about knowing the Lord. Who's going to ascend into that place this morning? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Listen to this, these words that follow. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. You know, this morning, I believe when we give ourselves to God and we give our future to Him and we consecrate ourselves to Him, we become a wonderful candidate for the Spirit of God to move in and to dwell there. And I want to tell you, when God moves into His vessel, it changes things. It changed those 12. It changed them majorly. I want to encourage us this morning to allow the Lord all that access to our life today. Allow Him to give us His revelation of who He is and of what He stands for and of what His people are to be like this morning. The world knows nothing of it anymore. I'm convinced, very little. Galatians 1 and 12, do you know after Paul was struck down on that road and we find him then seeking the Lord there and we find that Ananias came and laid his hands on him and he received the Holy Ghost and we find him a very changed man after that experience. And we find here in Galatians 1 and 12, he says, for I neither received it of man. Well, I'll read verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. You know, Paul's experience was one that he received from the Lord, a revelation of things. That one that he persecuted so and was so against, the Lord turned him around and immediately headed him up a whole different road. And we find the Lord beginning to talk to Paul. And so this morning, I just want to give us those words of encouragement that, Lord, reveal Yourself to me. Reveal to me Your love, that I can never really doubt it again. That I can never ask myself, does God love me? Does God love that person over there? that I can know that God is love. I believe the Lord wants to reveal to us. This is not what flesh and blood does. I cannot tell you that. I can tell you, but it is God that wants to reveal it to us this morning. It is God that wants to give that to us. You know, we talked about Felix. He trembled. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Then there was Demas. That's 2 Timothy 4. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, I don't know what all that meant about him, but you know, some way he lost his vision of what God wanted him to do, it sounds like. This morning, I believe the Lord wants to give us more of that. I'm thinking about Daniel, the second chapter. And we read a number of scriptures last week in Daniel. And we read about how that the king Nebuchadnezzar decreed that all the wise men would be killed. He said, I've dreamed a dream, and I want you to tell me this dream. And they said, well, king, tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it means. No, you're buying time. I want you to tell me what the dream was, and then I know that the answer that you give me is correct. Well, of course they couldn't do that. They said, there's nobody. Only the gods can do that. Something to that effect. Do you know this morning, Daniel knew that there was a God in heaven. And he knew that Daniel 2 and 16, I want to read just a little of that. So Arioch, the king's captain, he made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. You know, God came along and began to speak to Daniel. And he revealed to him what this meant. And he revealed the king's dream to him. I just want to use this place here to remind us, folks, God wants to reveal to you and me his plan for our life. He wants to reveal his truths, his eternal truths. He wants to reveal the good things of God to you and me. And then it says, then Daniel blessed the Lord, the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. Daniel, this was revealed to Daniel. He knew, you know what, this Nebuchadnezzar's in this great place. And he commands and people die, and he commands and things happen and all of this. And he had something revealed to him. This man can't do anything but what God brings to pass. Daniel's the one, remember, that told King Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to have to humble yourself, or the Lord's going to command judgment on you. And for 7 years, this king went out and ate grass like oxen do. But you know, Daniel knew the Lord, didn't he? And so I want to look on down to verse 27. It says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And so he goes on. That's quite a reading there. But do you know this morning, the Lord is a revealer. He is a revealer of secrets. And he revealed to these 12 apostles his truths and his ways. And they didn't understand him very well while he was walking with them. But they kept seeking him. And he said, I want you to tarry till you're endued with power. And then I'm going to give you power to be a witness in all the world. And that's what happened. This morning, we may need to tarry some. We may need to seek the Lord like Daniel and his fellows did. Lord, would you show us your ways? I want you to use my life. I want you to teach me the things that you want to teach me. I thought about the scripture, and I'll just mention this briefly. But you know, in Malachi, we find Malachi 4 and 2, we find the Lord, Malachi, prophesying, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Folks, that's what the Lord came to do. The Son of Righteousness came to arise with healing in his wings. "And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." That means fatted calves. That means all you're not skin and bones in the Lord. This was the prophecy, not skin and bones in the Lord, but like fatted calves this morning. Do we have this revealed to us this morning? This is what God wants to give to you and me today. And ye, well, it goes on then, but I wanted that one verse. A few things that came to me. We've talked about him revealing his great love to us. Folks, that is an important aspect of the Lord. When we lose sight of that, it's impossible to give our lives like those men gave their lives. We need God to reveal his great power to us. Do you really have it revealed in your heart? And I know many of us do, but some of us don't this morning. And I want to challenge us. I want to challenge all of us. We have revealed in our heart that God can do anything. Revealed? Do we believe that to the point it can't be taken away from us? It's been revealed. The plan was open. We've seen it up close. We've recognized it. We've seen it happen. And it's not going to be taken away. Not as long as we walk in the light. Do we know that his great provision is for us? Is that revealed in our life? God's going to take care of me. Now, do we get a little nervous sometimes? Folks, probably most of us do at times in our life. And we can get fretful, and we can look at the future and wonder what. But I want to tell you, I believe the Lord wants to reveal to each one of us, I'm your provider, and I'll keep you, and I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you in your spiritual situation. I will care for you very, very wonderfully because I'm the great provider. Don't we believe God will do that? His great protection to us. Do we really believe that unless God says it, we're okay? Unless he says it, there's not one hair going to perish off of our head. That only comes by divine revelation. God help us all. Help me. Do we believe that? Otherwise, we have to take up arms, folks. We have to be like the world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. But do you know, Christians came to bring a different flavor to the world. They came to bring peace. They came to bring life. They came to bring an aroma that smells so good. Do we believe that? I know we do. That's what Christians came to bring this morning. It's what Christ came to bring. The Lord wants to reveal truth and righteousness to us today. Do we understand and know God's ways? The world says there is no such thing as truth. What do they call it today? the modern way of thinking is, there isn't any truth. There isn't any. Every man's right in his own eyes. Every man's right in the way he thinks. Folks, this is not true. Has the Lord revealed to you some things? Lots of things? Has he revealed the way he wants us to live, walk, the doctrines of his Bible? God wants to reveal those things to us. No man can teach that and make us believe it. But God can reveal it to us and we'll never lose it. We'll never leave it in the rest of our life. The Lord wants to reveal the way of God more perfectly. Do you know this morning there was a brother in the New Testament and he was a disciple of John. He knew that Christ was coming, but he had never, it sounded like he didn't ever know. He said he didn't know there was such a thing as a Holy Ghost and all of that. You know, but that brother and sister sat down with him and told him the way of God more perfectly. And he understood it. The Lord wants to teach us many things this morning more perfectly. He wants to reveal himself in the way of sacrifice in our life. He wants to reveal that to us. Do you know, it's going to be impossible for us to sacrifice for the Lord the way he wants us to. The way that brings joy to our soul way down deep, that's impossible. Except that he reveals it to us. And then it's the passion of our life. What more can we do than to give our life for the gospel's sake? To give our life to help other people. To help people up instead of pounding people down. Hoping we can step on them and get up a little higher ourselves. That's the world we live in today. The Lord wants to reveal to us, give ourselves, sacrifice. It's one of the most awesome things in life. That's what these 12 men did. They sacrificed their whole life. The Lord wants to reveal himself in humility in our life. The world stands up. The big dog gets the cake. Or gets the meat or the bone or whatever. You know, this morning, that's the world, isn't it? But the Lord wants to reveal himself, his humility to you and me. He wants to teach us a different way. It only comes by revelation. Because nobody can make us do this. And we can't even make it ourselves. It has to be something God does within us. His comfort. God has great comfort for our lives. He wants to be our go-to. He wants to be that place that we run to in time of trouble. And we find him there. We pillow ourselves. We bury ourselves into him. Lord, have mercy on me. And we find him there, don't we? His thoughts. We're filled with our own thoughts many times, aren't we? Filled with our own thoughts. People, because we're intelligent human beings, because you're intelligent this morning, we're filled with our own thoughts. It takes God to reveal his thoughts. It takes us going to God and confessing, Lord, I know not the way. I don't know the way. I don't understand your thoughts altogether, but reveal yourself to me. And I believe God will do that this morning. His mercy. Can it be that God could reveal to you and me his great mercy to us? His great mercy through us? I believe he can this morning. It takes a lot of belief to be different, to be self-sacrificing, and do it with joy this morning. It takes vision. It takes a great revelation. You know, this morning, the scripture says, and this will be our last scripture, Lord willing, in Revelation 3:20, he said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, that's our part. We have to open the door to him. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you know this morning the Lord wants that to be our situation today? I will tell you, that is very real, to sup. That means supper. That means have dinner with him. That's what that means. And he said, he's going to knock. And if we'll open the door, Lord, come on in. I want you to reveal yourself to me this morning. The Lord help us each one. I believe he has so much in store for all of us. So many blessings. If we will allow it. If we'll open the door. So the Lord help each one of us. You pray for me.